بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، نحمده ونصلي على رسوله الكريم، أما بعد. There's an Arabic saying: إذا هبت نفحتك فاغتنمها. When the wind blows in your direction, then make the most of it. In other words, when you get your opportunity, إذا هبت نفحتك, you can understand to mean when you get your opportunity, then grab it with both hands. We have this opportunity currently, the month of Ramadan, a Mubarak night, could potentially be the most significant night of the year. There is no better opportunity than this. Generally in the dunya, we await opportunities, you know, investment opportunities, business opportunities, marriage opportunities, opportunities for entertainment, holidays, etc. This is an opportunity that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us that could potentially be life-changing for us. A night like tonight could be life-changing. If a person maximizes his benefit, a person grabs the opportunity with two hands, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can make this life-changing for him. Sometimes these opportunities don't repeat themselves too often. We experience many other odd nights in Ramadan, and inshallah Allah allow us to see many more, and Allah give us tawfiq to maximize our benefit. But for example, those that are in i'tikaf, what guarantee do we have? Will we be in i'tikaf again? On nights like tonight, there is no better place to be than in the masjid. Those of us, the rest of us who are here, that are not in sunnah i'tikaf, we are actually in nafil i'tikaf. Sometimes during a bayan, during some discussion, the thought comes in the heart that let me make the change. Let me, for example, go out in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Your heart took to some spiritual shaykh and mentor. Let me create a ta'alluq and a relationship with this person and take advice from him, etc. When again that thought is going to go past your heart, Allahu A'lam. That is your opportunity on an occasion like tonight. When those kind of thoughts come, then let us grab it, respected friends and elders. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned many examples of those who grabbed their opportunity when it came in different forms. The famous incident of that person who was traveling in the desert, and he comes to a place where he discovers a well. Very thirsty, he's traveling, but there's no bucket for the well to remove the water. So he uses his leather sock and then removes the water and he drinks. This incident is reported to have happened to a man also, to a woman also. And then after that, they notice that there's a dog right there who is extremely thirsty. So thirsty that he's actually licking the sand to try and quench the thirst and remove the dryness from the mouth. But the dog obviously cannot reach the water. So what he did, he used his sock, his leather sock, to remove water and give that water and feed the water to the dog. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loved that action so much that became the basis for his maghfirat, and Allah forgave him. That opportunity presented itself and he grabbed it with two hands. So the opportunity, whether it be like occasions for our own personal change like tonight, or as a principle in our life, when you are outside in the world somewhere, sometimes these opportunities come in front of us to assist someone, to help someone, to advise someone, to calm a situation down. You are there and things are going out of hand. That's your opportunity. Imam Ibn Qudama rahimahullah has got a unique book where he has gathered incidents of people of the past, of how they accepted Islam and what drew them to Islam. كَيْفَ أَسْلَمَ هَؤُلَىٰ is the title of the book. How did these people accept Islam? So one incident he mentions in this book is of a woman who was a Sayyid and a descendant of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. She was from the family of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Her husband had passed away and she only had daughters. And after a short while thereafter, they ran out of funds. and she could not make ends meet. But out of, you know, shame, she could not go and ask anybody for help in that town. Being from the family of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, obviously the most respectable lineage. So she decides to take her daughters with her and go to another town. This happened in Persia. So she goes to this next town, she goes to the gathering of the Muslim governor. And she tells him that she tells him her story. I am from the family of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. My husband passed away not too long ago. We only have daughters. We have run out of funds. And out of shame for my community, I've left that community. I've come here. Can you help me? Can you assist me? This was an opportunity for this person to serve the descendant of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, to serve a widow, to serve a woman in need. But what was his response? He said, "Aqim 'indi al-bayyina." Prove it to me that you are from the family of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Aqim 'indi al-bayyina. She had no proof, she never had a lineage maybe written down, etc. She couldn't do so, he refuses to help her. So reluctantly she leaves that gathering and then she goes to the chief of the fire worshippers. Persia was filled of fire worshippers, mushrikun. So she goes to their chief and she relates her story to him. That person, immediately upon hearing that she was from the descendants of our Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, tells his people, then look after this woman. Give her a place to sleep. Prepare food for her and look after her family. And mashallah, they cared for her. That night, the Muslim governor sees a dream. In his dream, it's as if Qiyamah is taking place. People are, you know, have been resurrected from their graves and there's mass confusion and people are scared. And as they are running around to look for some refuge, he sees a big palace. So when he goes to that palace, they stop him from entering. They say, sorry, this is not yours. You are not allowed to enter. So when he looks up, he sees on the palace, لِفُلَانٍ الْمَجُوسِ, that this belongs to a particular, this person's name, who was a Majusi, who was a fire worshipper. So he's startled at that. And then he looks on his right, he sees Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam in his dream. He says, O Nabi of Allah, this palace, the name is for that Majusi, he's a non-Muslim. I deserve to go into this palace and take refuge because I am a Muslim. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, Aqim 'indi al-bayyina. Prove to me you're a Muslim. In other words, reminding him that you had your opportunity. Had you taken that opportunity, maybe this palace would have been yours. And then this person wakes up, and obviously this was a reminder to him, an admonition to him in the dream. He wakes up startled and he rushes to that Majusi's place, that fire worshipper's place. And he tells him that you have with you a descendant of our Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam and her daughters. I deserve more to care for her. She's a Muslimah, I am a Muslim. So I want you to hand her over to us. So this person then tells him that you have come to me because you have seen a dream. So let me bear testimony in front of you. Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah wa anna Muhammadan Rasulullah. Allah has given me hidayat. I am a Muslim now. I also have the right to look after her and care for her. This is the man who grabbed his opportunity. And there are many incidents like this, respected friends and elders. إِذَا هَبَّتْ نَفْحَتُكَ فَاغْتَنِمْهَا. Then grab it. When your opportunity comes, then grab it. To relate it to our situation now, currently here and now today, our opportunity is to turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Spend the night in ibadat. We discussed on the 21st night the different ibadat that a person can engage in. But ensuring that we engage in tawbah, repentance in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and beg Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to forgive us and to allow us to make the change in our lives. You know, between the year 2000 and 2010, I used to go with my beloved father, rahimahullah, during Ramadan to America for Taraweeh and for Bayans. So on one occasion, we were in one masjid in New Jersey for Ramadan, and there used to be one brother from Guyana who used to be cleaning the masjid. So me being a youngster and alone, I used to be in the masjid a lot of the time reading door and preparing for the taraweeh. So I developed a relationship with him. My father also developed a good relationship with this man. He was an elderly person. His name was Khuda Bakhsh, rahimahullah. So I used to spend a lot of time with him, being alone and bored. You got the entire day to pass. So he once mentioned a unique incident from his life. He says that, you know, I'm cleaning the masjid now, alhamdulillah. This is tawfiq from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But prior to this, I used to hardly be in the masjid. And I got very sick one day. I was admitted into hospital and my condition deteriorated. I began to get worse and worse. So the doctors called my wife after a few weeks had passed and I was in hospital. And they told her that tomorrow, if there's no improvement, then expect the worst. Inform the family, etc. Obviously, he was unaware of that. But he says that that night he woke up and feeling so ill and so sick. And he began to talk to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He began to make dua. He says, "Oh Allah, I'm so ill. It seems like I'm dying." And he says, "Ya Allah, you know, I haven't done much in my life. I haven't done much in terms of your ibadah, your obedience. Ya Allah, give me one more chance. Give me one more chance and I will dedicate myself to your house. I will clean your house." Respected friends and elders, the next day when the doctors came, his family came, they were surprised that alhamdulillah, there was a change in his condition. And he kept on improving. And alhamdulillah, he was discharged. Ever since then, daily he would clean the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, free of charge. He would buy the supplies also. The powder, that, you know, he used to apply powder onto the carpet and then vacuum. And whatever else, other detergents were needed, he would buy it and come. And on a Friday, that town actually had three masjids. On a Friday, he would start after Fajr and clean all three masjids. True to his word. And Allah gave him that opportunity. Not everybody gets that chance, respected friends and elders. Obviously, his time was not up. Outwardly, it seemed like he was dying. But his mouth was not yet written. But Allah brought that situation on him. Realization came to his heart and mind that I need to make a change. You know, I never done anything for my akhirat. And mashallah, then for several years, he ended up in this khidmah, true to his word, grabbing his opportunity and inshallah building his akhirah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala fill his qabr with noor. He passed away a few years thereafter. So we too, respected friends and elders, sometimes you are in the masjid, sitting, pondering, and the thought comes, that is that opportunity that has come, let us take it. How many bayans we have heard throughout our lives? How many times we have spent, you know, the night in the masjid, or we spent in the i'tikaf, etc. Let this one count. Let this one be when that opportunity came, and I sincerely turned a new page. And I went back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Wallahi, respected friends and elders, nobody ever regretted that. Nobody ever regretted making tawbah. Nobody ever regretted going back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, turning a new page in his life and coming closer to Allah and his messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Every other opportunity in the dunya, when it comes to worldly gain, then people gain and people regret too. But in deen, any person who changed his life for the sake of Allah and came closer to Allah and adopted more sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he never regretted. He will never regret in this dunya, qabr or akhirat. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us tawfiq. Alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Wassalatu wassalamu ala sayyidina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa ashabi ajma'in. ربنا ظلمنا أنفسنا وإن لم تغفر لنا وترحمنا لنكونن من الخاسرين لا إله إلا أنت سبحانك إنا كنا من الظالمين اللهم إنك عفو تحب العفو فاعف عنا لا إله إلا أنت سبحانك إنا كنا من الظالمين اللهم إنك عفو تحب العفو فاعف عنا اللهم اغفر لنا ذنوبنا كلها دقها وجلها أولها وآخرها علانيتها وسرها اللهم إنا نسألك من الخير كله عاجله وآجله ما علمنا منه وما لم نعلم ونعوذ بك من الشر كله عاجله وآجله ما علمنا منه وما لم نعلم. ربنا آتنا في الدنيا حسنة وفي الآخرة حسنة وقنا عذاب النار. اللهم إنا نسألك رضاك والجنة ونعوذ بك من سخطك والنار. اللهم أجرنا من النار، اللهم أجرنا من النار، اللهم أجرنا من النار. اللهم أعتق رقابنا ورقاب آبائنا وأمهاتنا وأزواجنا وأولادنا وذرياتنا من النار. اللهم اجعلنا من عبادك الصالحين الغر المحجرين. اللهم إنا نسألك الهدى والتقى والعفاف والغنى. اللهم وفقنا لما تحب وترضى واجعل آخرتنا خيرا من الأولى. اللهم إنا نسألك حبك وحب نبيك سيدنا محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم. اللهم إنا نسألك من كل خير أحاط به علمك في الدنيا والآخرة، ونعوذ بك من كل شر أحاط به علمك في الدنيا والآخرة. اللهم إنا نسألك من خير ما سألك منه نبيك محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم، ونعوذ بك من شر ما استعاذك منه نبيك محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم. أنت المستعان وعليك البلاغ، ولا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله العلي العظيم. اللهم إنا نعوذ بك من العجز والكسل، ونعوذ بك من الجبن والبخل، ونعوذ بك من أن نرد إلى أرذل العمر، ونعوذ بك من فتنة الدنيا وعذاب القبر. اللهم إنا نعوذ بك من فتنة المحيا والممات، ونعوذ بك من فتنة المسيح الدجال. اللهم إنا نعوذ بك من فتنة المسيح الدجال. اللهم إنا نعوذ بك من فتنة المسيح الدجال. اللهم فارج الهم كاشف الغم، مجيب دعوة المضطرين، رحمن الدنيا والآخرة ورحمهما، ارحمنا رحمة من عندك تغنينا بها عن رحمة من سواك. اللهم اكفنا بحلالك عن حرامك، وأغننا بفضلك عمن سواك. اللهم أقبل بقلوبنا إلى دينك، واحفظ من وراءنا برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين. اللهم انصر الإسلام والمسلمين. اللهم اغفر لأمة سيدنا محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم. اللهم ارحم أمة سيدنا محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم. اللهم تجاوز وأصلح أمة سيدنا محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم. اللهم الطف بأمة سيدنا محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم. ربنا تقبل منا إنك أنت السميع العليم، وتب علينا إنك أنت التواب الرحيم. وصلى الله تعالى على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين.